But today, what I kind of wanted to start with was, or the title of my message was, how to hear the voice of God. And so many times as believers, you know, we hear the voice of God, and we think, is that the voice of the Father? Is that, you know, is that the enemy? Is that my own self? Is it this? Is it that? But our lives can sometimes feel like constant noises and voices from every side. And you're always going to hear that. You're always going to hear noises and voices and stuff. But how do we distinguish between the Father, and how do we distinguish the voices that are the enemy, that are ourselves, that's contrary to the Word of God? But all these voices are talking, and they're influencing us, or influencing the way that we think that and how we feel. But in the midst of all of that, there is one voice we need to hear the most, and that is God. And so when you're speaking, or when you're speaking the answer to one of life's questions, do you ever wonder, if you're asking the question, so to life's many questions, you know, should I get this job, or should I apply for this job? Should I marry this person? Should I invest here? Should I go here? Have you ever wondered, are you hearing God's voice, or is it just your own voice? I mean, there's been plenty of times where, you know, I've made decisions for my own family, and I'm just like, I believe this is this is God speaking to me. And you know, sometimes you're never quite sure, but we want to equip you so we can understand where we want you to be sure that you're hearing from the voice of the Father. Maybe you're hoping to hear from Him, but you don't want to get it wrong, and you don't want to make the bad choice or the bad decision. Do you need to hear from Him today about your finances, about your children, about your marriage, or about your health? But I want to tell you, beloved, there is good news. God is speaking to you all the time. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, it's the nature of God to speak. He wants to have fellowship with you, and He wants you to hear from Him all the time. But so many times we are so busy that we don't take the time to listen to His voice. And it does take, I know for me personally, and what I've noticed talking with other folks, that it takes practice. You have to do it. You know, it's not like you just wake up one day and like, oh, okay, I understand what the Father says. And, you know, I'm not saying that it can't happen, but 9 times out of 10, you have to develop that gift. You have to quiet yourself. You have to listen. So many times we have things going on. We have, you know, TV on. Now, I'm notorious for this. You know, my family hates this because I like white noise. I guess I grew up like that. And so I like having the TV on. I like, you know, if I'm cleaning or washing the dishes or cleaning up something, I like to have the TV on, just some white noise on. Or if I'm going to bed, I like to have, you know, I'm listening to my Bible, I'm listening to preaching. I always have noise going on constantly. So I have to make a very conscious effort to settle and quiet and make sure I hear from the Lord. You know, my wife is always fussing at me. She's like, Josh, it's always noise. Everywhere we go, it's just noise, noise, noise with you. And I'm like, you know, to me, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it gets weird when it's quiet, but when it's like noisy stuff going on, you know, I had a friend. We were in church one time, and you know, those who know our congregation, you know, we have kids running around, and this guy was like, wow, Josh, I can't believe you made it through your sermon, and you know, you weren't getting distracted. He's like, I was totally distracted hearing the kids running and playing and the noise and doors and this and that. And he's like, you know, it must be so hard. I don't know how you did it. And I was like, well, I kind of have 5 kids. You kind of get used to kind of tuning stuff out and just, I mean, even working on the West Side. I remember doing, when we do our kids club, we always did our kids club outside. We brought, you know, we'd have almost 100 kids sometimes there and out in the park in the grassy area, and you'd hear cars drive by, you'd hear drive-bys, you'd hear shootings, you'd hear ambulance, you know, cops, you know, it was just, you know, the trash trucks. I mean, you'd hear so much noise that you had to tune everything out and kind of focus in with what you're doing. And so I'm kind of used to it, but in Western society, we have so much noise, so many things going on, that it's hard to find a quiet place. Even in our own prayer lives, we get, you know, we get in our closet, or, you know, we go to our prayer rooms or whatever, wherever you like to go to pray. And, you know, it's always blah, 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 blah. God, I need this. God, that. God, 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 God. And it's, there's so much of us speaking that we're not being quiet and listening to his voice. And, you know, sometimes I feel like God's like, would you just be quiet? I'm trying to tell you something, but you just keep on talking. But we need to understand that when we quiet ourselves and when we allow the Father to speak to us, that we'll be able to hear. And I believe it's a lie of the enemy to tell you, well, you can't hear from the Father. You're not going to hear from him. This or that, you know, all the enemy wants to tell you that the Father doesn't love you enough to speak to you. But I'm here to tell you that he does love you, and he wants to speak with you. He wants to have a conversation with you. You know, Bethany Johnson Hicks said this, and I love this quote. She said, in the old covenant, prophets heard God for you. In the new covenant, prophets hear God with you. God is always speaking. He's always talking. We just have to tune in. So when you learn to tune into God's voice, it won't be an occasional event, but it will be an everyday part of your life. It's, I believe that's part of the normal Christian behavior or normal Christian life, that you hear God for yourself all the time. It's not just I heard it on Sunday morning when the worship team was in the zone and the Spirit was there, and that's when I heard him. It should be, you know, when you're in the shower, when you're in traffic, when you're at work, you're always hearing the voice of the Father, because you have tuned your receiver, you tuned your spirit to listen to what he's saying. But I really believe that it should be an everyday thing, not just an occasional part of our lives. That's why in the New Testament, Jesus said, he who hears, who has ears, hears to hear, let him hear. He said that over 15 times. You can learn to hear God. This is what it says in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now there were 6 stones of jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding about 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to his servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master. Now, I really like this story when it talks about hearing the voice of the Father. And I know it's a very simple story. We all know the story. It's a simple analogy. But this is what Jesus said. Now you can say, well, Josh, they were right there with Jesus. They were in person, and Jesus said, fill the jars with water. Okay, well, Josh, how does that help me tune my spirit, tune my ears so I can hear the voice of the Father? They were literally with Jesus. Jesus spoke the words and they heard them. Let me share something. How many times have you been in the presence of your spouse, of your husband and your wife, and they spoke to you and you didn't hear them? Just because somebody is there doesn't mean that you always hear them. There's a difference between hearing and understanding. You know, my wife and I get busy with stuff, and I'm doing stuff, and you know, I'll be driving, or I'm on the computer, I'm working, I'm doing something, and you know, Tiff will be like, Josh, 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 and then finally, you know, I could hear, and I'm like, what? You know, I'm sorry, and she's like, where were you? Did you not hear me? And so, yes, you have Jesus there, and he's telling the servants, go get a jar of water. Go get the jars of water, fill them up, fill them to the brim. They had to hear him. They had to be tuned, because they're at a wedding. We've all been to a wedding. And, you know, especially you've been to a wedding reception. I mean, you got the DJ going, you got people talking over here. You got people congratulating the bride and the groom. It is a noisy atmosphere. And you still have to be able, those servants still had to be able to tune in to what Jesus was saying. They could have just been hearing what was going on with these servants. They could have been hearing what was going on. They could have probably heard the animals, but they had to tune in to the words of Jesus. Jesus said, fill the jar. Now you might say, well, Josh, that's a really simple, you know, I mean, that's really simple. They just hear them. No, there's so many times Jesus speaks. There's times, I guarantee you, there's times Jesus has been in the room and Jesus is speaking to us and we're just not listening. We're not tuned in. Jesus is speaking to our spirits and the Holy Spirit's like trying to tell us something that needs to be known. And we're busy watching TV. We're busy doing this. We're busy doing that. We're thinking about what we're going to eat. We're thinking about what's on the Olympics, what's on TV, what's this or that. We have to learn to quiet ourselves down and listen. So if you're longing for the certainty in your fellowship with God, here are four ways. And we're going to talk briefly. This is going to be a very long message. Well, I always say that. And everyone's like, all right. I don't think it's going to be long. But I just want to kind of bring up four things to help you hear the voice of God. And I've applied these in my own life so I can hear God a lot better. And they work. You just have to abide by the rules of the Father. In Jeremiah 29:13, this is the New King James, it says, and you will seek me and find me. You will search for me with all your heart. When you search for me with all your heart. Have you ever tried to watch television or listen to the radio without turning it on? Of course you haven't. I mean, you'd be those weird people that are staring at a blank screen or, you know, nothing's coming on. You already know that nothing's going to happen unless you turn on the TV or turn on the receiver. That if you don't turn to the right station, you don't turn it on, turn on the TV and it's not receiving a signal, you're not going to hear anything. When you turn them on, you fully understand and expect there to be sound. So, how do you check your spiritual receiver? The one way to know if your spiritual receiver is turned on is asking these questions. Do you expect to hear from God? That's number one. Do you expect to hear from God? You should be having a heart of expectation that I'm going to hear from God each and every day. The enemy wants to lie to you and plant these seeds of self-worth or self-worthlessness, doubt, all these things, unworthiness, that God doesn't want to speak to you, that God only speaks to the man or woman of God, or God only speaks to the pastor or to the bishop or to the apostle, but you're an old person or a young person or you're single or you're a divorcee, whatever it might be. He always wants to throw these, but you, as a child of God, as a believer, you should be asking yourself, do you expect to hear God? And the answer should be yes. I expect. When I go to church, and this is just part of the having the heart of expectation. If you sit in a chair, you have the expectation that the chair will hold you up. If you go to a restaurant and you order a menu item, you order some food, your expectation is you're going to get your steak, you're going to get your hamburger, you're going to get your chicken fried steak, whatever it may be. You have an expectation for that. And I find it very funny that, I don't know if it's funny, but it could be sad, but we have a greater faith in other things. We have greater expectation in other things than we do of the things of the Lord. A good example, I bet there's people that believe bad things will happen to them. And I only say this because I've heard people, you know, I'll give you this example. I heard a lady the other day and my wife was talking to her and my son and my wife, they went to go, their elderly couple and their daughter was helping them. They were cleaning their car. And the daughter, and she's a little bit older than us. She said, you know what, every time I fill up the car or I wash the car, get it all nice, because she's like, ooh, y'all did a great job. This is looking nice. Every time I do that, I get in a car accident or something bad happens. Why do we have an expectation? We have more faith in what the enemy will do to us than what God will do for us. And, you know, my wife was telling, she was telling me the story, and she's like, no, we're not going to believe that. We're going to pray right now. We're going to break that off, have an expectation that I got a new car or my car is clean, that I'm going to get better gas mileage, or, you know, I'm going to get to where I need to go with no problems. Why is it that it's easier for us to believe and expect negative things than believe on what God has promised us or will do for us? Some people will say, you know, God just doesn't talk to me. I've heard that before. And I'm like, God's always talking. Your spirit is always open. Your spirit's always attentive. Your spirit's always listening. God's always talking. It's just, are you tuned in to what he's speaking? But here's the more important truth. Even if you don't feel like God speaks to you, he does. He is. He's speaking to you even right now. But if you aren't expecting to hear from him, how are you ever going to tune your receiver? And I'm using receiver as a metaphor. How are you going to turn your spiritual ears into what he is saying? Because it's like, if you don't expect to receive, you're not listening for it. I don't expect God to speak to me, so why do I need to listen for his voice? Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to do that? He doesn't speak to me. We need to change our perspective. We need to change the paradigm on how we think. Stop thinking the negative. Stop thinking, well, God doesn't speak to me. Start thinking the positive. Start thinking, you know what? God does speak to me. And your spirit is always open and your spirit is always listening. That's why when you go to sleep, and I tell folks, hey, when you're asleep, you be very careful. You know, I know I hear a bunch of people, oh, I like, you know, leaving the TV on and this and that. And you know, I mean, I used to do that when I was little. And you leave, and you know, I was born in 83, and this will probably date me or whatnot. But I remember back in the day, there was a meme I actually saw a few weeks ago, and it totally took me back down memory lane. It was so nostalgia, but back before you had, you know, cable really going and stuff like that, about midnight, stuff starts going off. And you always get this from like midnight to like 6 a.m., there was this section of programming called infomercials. I remember crazy infomercials. I'd fall asleep and you wake up and it's Gintsu knife. It will cut through anything. You see a dude cutting through cans and stuff like that. Other times would be, I remember another infomercial was the, it's like the sounds of earth or some classical stuff. And, you know, sail away, sail away, sail away. You know, if you are my age, I guarantee you remember these infomercials. And another one would be Cleo, call me now for your free reading. And, you know, and it's like, you know, you had Cleo, the fortune teller would be on, her infomercial would be on. And so I would tell people, like, hey, look, when you're awake, you can be more guarded what you see, what you hear. But when you're asleep, you might be asleep. You're physically asleep, but your spirit is still open. So if something comes on TV and it's not edifying or glorifying, your spirit's going to receive that and you're going to hear it and you're going to pick it up. I remember to this one time, I was listening to a podcast and it was on some political stuff, something like that. I can't remember what it was. And it wasn't anything like bad or anything like that. And I remember falling asleep. I just happened to fall asleep. I was so tired, fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I started having these weird nightmares about zombies and apocalypse. And I can't remember what it was. And I remember waking up and the podcast, I don't know what happened. I guess it just continued to play. And it was just skipping around stuff. And it went on to, it just picked up some weird show, weird podcast, and it was talking about like tarot cards or something like that. And I was like, how the heck did this get on here? You know, and I'm like, what in the world's going on? And so my point is this, your spirit is always listening. Your spirit's always tuned in. You just got to be tuned in to what God is saying. And you have to expect that God's going to speak to you. Whether you believe it or not, God is speaking to you. Now, Let me be very clear. He isn't going to scream. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. He's not going to yell. He's not going to demand you to pay attention. He's not going to be like, listen to me. I mean, sometimes he will. But more often than not, he's always speaking to you, but he speaks in that still, small voice. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12 talks about him, talks about this. You know, the prophet Elijah was saying, you know, he wasn't here. He wasn't, you know, is it in the moving and the rushing of the winds and this and that? But it was the still, small voice. God speaks very gently. He speaks very calmly. He speaks very sweet to his people. But if you aren't expecting to hear from him, if you're not expecting to hear from him, you can't pick that up. Also, if you, so when you hear him, and you haven't tuned in your spiritual hearing to what he's saying, and listen carefully, you'll miss what he's saying. Another way to describe the way we hear God's voice is through the inward witness. He'll speak, and you'll hear your inward witness, or your spirit man, or the Holy Spirit. You know, that's how I hear God a lot of the times, is that it's my inward witness. I'll just be sitting there, and you know, I'm praying or whatnot, and it's not that I hear an audible voice, you know, but I hear something in my spirit that I'm like, you know, fresh revelation, like, Josh, read this. And I'm like, I really feel like I should read this. And I'll read something and it gets illuminated or whatever might be. I'll listen to this worship song, or you need to go call this person. That's how the Lord speaks to me. And a lot of times that if I'm not listening and picking up on that, I'll miss it because I'm so, we can be so busy and hear so much stuff going on that you miss it. He speaks in a still small voice. But what is the inward witness? Now, God communicates with us the way we communicate with one another. He communicates from his spirit to your spirit. And then your spirit communicates what you hear to your mind. Now, you might, and that's really the simplest way that I can explain it, that your inward spirit or your inward witness communicates to you. That is what we call an inward witness. And I'll say it again. God communicates the way he doesn't communicate the way we do. Sometimes he does. It's an audible voice. And I've known people that, you know, just one of our ladies in our church who said, hey, I heard the audible voice of God. Tell me this. You know, I wish I heard the audible voice of God sometimes in certain things. It's like, God, do I need to take this job? God, should I make this? And you want the audible, don't do that. Yes, do this. But it's that inward witness. But the inward witness is how, this is how he communicates to us, is that he communicates spirit to spirit. He will communicate his spirit to your spirit, and then your spirit will communicate it to your mind, or you hear in your mind's eye or in your mind's ear, hearing, you hear it in your mind. And that's how he communicates with us. It's very similar to a thought or a prompting. So you might be sitting there and the Holy Spirit, God speaks, spirit is speaking to you, and you're like, you know what, I really feel like I need to go pray for this person. I feel like I need to pray for this, or I feel like I need to do this or that. It's very subtle, and it requires closeness with God and regular practice to hear it more and more clearly and quickly. But it can be done. It's just, do you want to take the time to listen carefully to what he's saying? And that's really, I know for me, for many years, you know, especially when I was younger, I wanted to hear the voice of the Father and just wanted to hear God. But I wouldn't give them the time of day. I was always, you know, 2 seconds, oh, don't hear nothing, and I'm off doing stuff. Oh, well, you know, got to do this, got to do that. But I never gave God the time to speak. Or even when I was in my quiet time, I'm always blaring stuff out. God, do this, God, do that. God, I need this, God, I need that, blah, 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 blah. And I never allow him to speak. That's why the more time you spend with the Lord, and the more you practice tuning into this voice, the more it'll become the voice that thunders in marvelous ways, according to Job 37:5. So how do we come to a place where you know whether it's you or the Lord? Now, certainly in knowing that you are hearing from God's voice comes to the person who is united with him. Certainty comes when you are united with the Lord, when you are close with Jesus. And you want to, now, you'll hear me say the Lord and God a lot. This just works for the Holy, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit, you want to hear Jesus, you want to hear what God's speaking. I mean, yes, I know they're all the same. But you can hear Jesus. Jesus will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. God the Father will speak to you. He wants to speak with you. And when you are continually close with him, you'll be able to hear. And hear him more clearly. 1 Corinthians 6:17. United means this. It means joined or in union. It doesn't apply to someone who is not living for God. If they're not a believer, they're not going to hear. Now, people say, oh, well, I heard my conscience told me and this and that. And I believe sometimes the Lord does speak to unbelievers. They just don't know it's Him speaking. They think it's the universe. They think it's their conscience. I've even heard people say, I think my grandmother talked to me. Okay, well, that's a whole different message, and that's called a familiar spirit, and you know, your grandma didn't talk to you. But that's a different message. I don't want to be offending people too much today. But it does, it applies to whoever willingly and diligently seeks Him, spends time fellowshipping with Him through prayer and obeys His word. And it's kind of like your wife, your husband or your wife, or even your kids. I use the analogy of this a lot of times when I'm talking about when you have closeness with the Lord or with the Lord, you know His voice, you know the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know the voice of Jesus. And it's kind of like your husband or your wife. I know my wife's voice. She can call me. I don't have to look at the caller ID. I know it's Tiffany. It's just Josh, you know, it's the way that she talks to me. It's the way that her tone is. I know that's my wife. It's the same thing. I can go to the mall, busy place, or go to Six Flags, and we'll go to the water park, or we'll go on a ride, or we'll go this or there, wherever at. And I can hear my kids scream or yell or whatever, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Shiloh, or, you know, that's somebody, you know. You can pick out your kid's voice. Why? Because there's union, there's unity, there's oneness there. You hear that person, you're intimate with that person. I'm very close with my children. I know their voices. I know my wife's voice. And it's the same thing with God the Father. It's the same thing with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. If you are close with them, if you are praying, you are just walking with them, you'll be able to hear them to a greater degree. A receiver, and finishing up one, the first kind of test on, or the first thing is check your receiver, is that a receiver who is intact or ready to tune in to the voice of God is one who is expecting to hear from Him and is willing to learn to know His voice. So number one is tune in your receiver. Expect that God wants to speak to you. You got to tune in your receiver. That's plain and simple. Don't wait. And when I say tune in the receiver, this is why I say this. I get this a lot. Is that you have people who go to prophetic conference, to prophetic conference, to prophetic conference, looking for a prophetic word from God, looking for this. And I remember me and another pastor were talking about this, and we're kind of just frustrated. And we, I think we were in Mexico one time, and this pastor kind of threw me under the bus. It was really funny, though. He's like, oh, yeah, if you need a prophetic word after service, you know, go ask Josh, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of gets off the mic, and I'm like, whoa, what was that for? You know, he just kind of threw me to the wolves. And I remember sitting there, we get done service, this long line, and people just kept coming up. Hey, you got a prophetic word for me? Hey, you got a word for me? Hey, you got a word for me? And I'm like, whoa. And so, not that I have a problem doing that, but what I do have a problem with, or I have to look at, is as children of God, are we hearing the voice of the Father? When you hear God, you don't have to hear it from somebody else. I truly believe God will speak to you, and that your prophetic words, now granted, going to prophetic words in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about prophetic words, you know, they're for edification, they're for the uplifting, the upbuilding, for, you know, for consoling. I believe in all that. I totally believe it. But I also believe that God speaks to all His people. Uh-oh, got a crying baby. That God speaks to all His people, and that we can hear His voice, and that the prophetic voices that you are hearing, or you are wanting a prophetic word, it should line up with what God already has spoken to you. It should be a confirmation. God should speak a word to you. You hear it, and as you go to a prophetic conference, meeting, whatever, and you get a prophetic word, I believe that prophetic word should just be a confirmation for what you've already heard. And what that is that God is just speaking to you. Expect that God is speaking to you. Number two, is you need to find his frequency. In John chapter 10, verse 4, it says, they know his voice. There was once a time when you had to work to tune or to program a radio or a television set. I know for you younger people, or for you, you younger people, you know, you have iPads and iPhones and streaming services. You just hit a button and boom, it comes on. And I love it. It's nice. But there was a time when you were driving in a car or even on a television. I grew up in the 80s. I remember having to turn the dials to get the channel in. You had to tune into the frequency. You had to find the right frequency. You never questioned if it's broadcasting. You never, when you're driving, it's not like, is there an AM station playing? Is there an FM station playing? Is the TV stations being broadcasted? They're always broadcasting. It's just you're not on the right frequency. If you want to watch KSAT 12, you can't be on channel 29. If you want to watch Fox 29, you can't be on channel 12. You have to be on the right channel on the right frequency. And this really kind of this reminded me. I was at a friend's property a couple days ago, and I was sitting in. He has an old vintage Corvette, and I was sitting in it, and it had the old. You know, I was looking at the radio, and you know, I have a CD player in my car. You know, I have a digital, you know, radio, digital, you know, rate, you know, all this stuff on in my Expedition. But then this old, beautiful Corvette, old Corvette, but it had an old school. It's like a 60 something, 70 something. I don't know. I just know it's nice, but it had an old school radio, and I'm looking at the radio, and I have it. I remember when I was younger, we had an old Cadillac DeVille, and it had, you had the channels where you would, where the little buttons where you can put the channel that you want on, you could push it and move the dial. And so I was looking at his car, and I pushed one of the buttons, and I was kind of messing with the tuning, didn't turn it on or anything, but I was just kind of messing with the tuning. And it reminded me, man, I remember driving, going on long road trips, and you would leave San Antonio. As soon as you leave San Antonio city limits, most of the, you know, the local stations would kind of cut off, and you just hear static. And it wasn't until you get into another city, whether it be Houston or Dallas or, you know, another town, you would have to go to the tune dial, and you'd have to turn the little dial to it. Found the right frequency. Once you found the right frequency, then you were able to hear local music from Houston or wherever you're at. And so many times we have to tune into God's frequency. God has a frequency. So how do you locate the frequency of God that God uses to speak to you? Most often we miss his frequency because we are tuned in to hear some huge revelation when in fact he is giving simple instructions. I know I used to be like that, you know. You're waiting for this big, thus saith the Lord, this big crazy revelation where it's like melting your face. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is the craziest revelation. When it's just, it could be just a simple, hey, beloved, I want you to love your wife more. I want you to love your husband more. I want you to love your kids. I want you to love your neighbor. We want to hear the big revelation. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I'm not saying that I enjoy it when that happens. I love hearing fresh revelation. But a lot of times, God has just given us simple instructions. Go here, go there. And you think I'm crazy. There's, you know, my wife is a little bit more tuned than I am. There's times that we will get up, we'll go to, you know, we were on the west side. We would get up, we'd had an event, we'd had groups coming out. We'd even have church. We'd get to the church building, and the Holy Spirit speaks to Tiffany. Pack it up. We have people coming. We have events to do. We have groups coming. Why would we pack it up? Holy Spirit's like, pack it up. Okay. Well, let's do it. Let's pack it up. We'll pack it up, and then we go, you know, we go home, and then come to find out there was a gang fight and then a shooting. And some, you know, I remember one time we did that, and there was a shooting, and a 17-year-old was murdered right there in the park where we would have had church. And I'm a block over from where our church was at. And during that time when it happened, we would have just finished, and our congregants would have been walking through the park at that exact time. And so we were just like, oh, man, we are expecting great revelation, something big, something powerful, which that does happen. But many times it's just simple instructions. It's just how to live life. It could just be, you could be having a rough day and God just says, I love you. I'm proud of you. You can do it. You're doing a great job. And you're just like, that's all I wanted to hear. And that's, I love it. That's maybe all that you need. But sometimes we're expecting to hear the big revelation. That's what he will do when you first begin to hear from him. He'll speak in little, small instructions. Because, you know, we're still knuckleheads. We're still doing our own thing. We're still, you know, we're still warring with the flesh. And the flesh wants to go do something stupid. And the Lord has to say, nope, I know they upset you. You need to love them. I know they hurt your feelings. You need to let that go. But as we mature, he will always continue. But as we mature, then he will start entrusting us with greater revelation. Obedience is a simple thing and is very important to God. It reveals the willingness of your heart. We want to skip all the hard work. We want to go from point A to point B or to point Z without hitting, you know, B, C, D, E. We don't care about all the points. And so sometimes we want the, Lord, I want the fresh revelation that no one's ever heard, or I want this or that. And God's like, man, I've been trying to tell you to love your neighbor, to love your wife, to give a little bit more, to do this, to do that. You're not even listening to that, but you want the big stuff. How can I entrust you with big revelation, with big knowledge, with big things when you can't even take care of the little stuff? You're not faithful with the little. God is testing. He tests our heart. Or can I trust you with the little things? So if you're waiting for God to send you out to part the Red Sea or to walk on water or to do something, you know, whatever, something big, you may be missing out what he's saying to you right now. You might be at a restaurant and you're wanting to hear this big, you know, part the sea or raid this or that or something big, when the father might just say, hey, I want you to encourage that waitress. Or I want you to give your waiter, your waitress, a bigger tip. I want you to give them encouraging word. But that's so easy, God. That's not what I want. I want something big. God's like, yeah, I want your, where's your heart at? You want the big stuff. Can I trust you with the little? He will talk to you about small things in your life that you will need to change. So many times, the times that, you know, I've gotten frustrated with my wife or got upset with my kids or frustrated with just situations when things are happening, you know, it's never the big, fresh, crazy revelations or revelatory stuff or visions or dreams or this. It's just God saying, hey, that's not who you are, man. You need to love your wife more. You need to love your kids more. And it's always the small little changes, change of direction, change of focus that the Lord is speaking over me. And I'm like, oh, man, thank you. God is wanting to speak to you. God wants liberty and freedom in our lives. And that begins with training. He teaches us how to be led by the Spirit. But if we destroy or disobey these promptings and the little things, we won't graduate to bigger assignments. Sometimes the small thing he asks us may seem unimportant. They may seem small. They may seem uninvolving, giving things up that we think that we will enjoy, but to reach a level of intimacy with God, there where we hear his voice and are launched into new areas, into realms of his glory, new places in the Spirit, obedience must come through non-negotiable things in our lives. Are you listening to the voice of the Father? Yeah, we have a lot of freedom, but there's things God's like, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. There's this TV show I love watching, and loved, past tense. And it's called The Boondocks. And I'll just be straight up. It was The Boondocks. It was a black anime, which I love. I love, you know, I understand black culture, so I watch it, you know. And I just love Uncle Ruckus and, you know, Ollie Riley. I'm just enjoying this, having a great time laughing. And I remember the Lord, you know, I wasn't offended. I didn't feel like I was like going to hell for it or sinning. But the Lord said, hey, I'm calling you to a better place. If you want to go deeper with me, you're going to have to drop things off that, you know, you may have to give up. And I'm like, you know, I kind of wrestled with him at first. I was like, God, I mean, I really like, we have freedom, right? We have freedom, right? We can do stuff. Paul said, you know, I'm no longer under the law, you know, that I can exercise freedom, you know? And I remember having this conversation with the Lord, and the Lord's like, you want to go higher. You want to be better. You want to be something different. You want to go to bigger places. You want to go to the next level. You got to drop these small things. And I remember it wasn't like, oh man, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. And I just clicked it off. And I haven't watched it since, even though, you know, I enjoy watching it. I loved it. Made me laugh. I knew if I wanted to go to bigger and greater places, greater areas with the Lord, there's things. There's things in your life that you might have to drop. It might be TV. It might be social media. You know, it might be friends. It might be acquaintances. It might even be a job. It might even be someone that you're dating. Now, that's a totally different subject. Now, you can't drop your spouse. Oh, sorry, I got to, you know, I feel God wants me to drop the things that are hindering me, and I believe that my husband is hindering me, so we're going to have to get divorced. That's not what I'm saying. But if you are in a relationship, you're dating someone, and they are taking you away from loving the Father more, if they're taking you away from being sexually pure, the Lord might say, hey, you need to drop them. Is it me that you're chasing, or is it them? If you follow me, I will be you. You'll be able to hear me when I speak to you. That's why in Matthew 18, it tells us to become like little children, which means not to be high-minded and think we're all-knowing. But to find God's frequency, we must be willing to hear His voice in the small things. God might say, "Hey, I need you to stop this." But I like it. Do you want to hear God, or do you want to be satisfied by the worldly system? Number three, learn to discern His voice. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear My voice." If your spouse or closest friend calls you on the telephone, you do not need to know that it's them when they call you. Most likely, you will know because you know their voice. Because you have spent so much time with them, the sound of their voice, the way that they say things, has become so well known to you, it's easy to recognize. The same is true when it comes to our relationship with God. Man, when you are just loving God, when you just doing what He says, you will recognize His voice. It will become quite clear. And sometimes, this is me personally, and this is what I believe, is that sometimes hearing God's voice, it is contrary to a lot of the things that your fleshly desires want. You might say, you know what, they did me wrong. I want to curse them, or I don't want to be their friend, or I want to be this or that. The Lord's going to be like, love them. You don't have to be prophetic. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that's the Father. Because only the enemy is going to say, get vengeance, do this, do them dirty, you know, get back at them. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. God is always going to talk love. Everything is going to come out of love, forgiveness. It's always going to come out of obedience to His word. You don't have to be like, well, is that God? I think it, dude, yes. So when you have a relationship with the Lord and you're mature with Him, even when you're I don't want to say like a super mature Christian. I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but even if you just receive the Lord and you just put your trust in Jesus, there's things that as He speaks, you just know it's Him. Why? It's just like you know your spouse's voice. You know your kid's voice. When you're with God long enough, you understand, you know how He talks. I know how the Holy Spirit talks to me. He may not talk to you the same way that, the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk the same way to Tiffany that He does to me, and vice versa. I understand the way the Holy Spirit talks to me. I know when he's talking to me, because usually I'm in trouble and I'm like, oh man, I was upset with somebody. Or usually I know when the Holy Spirit's talking to me. But why? It's because I've walked with him. I've invited him. I've listened to the Father. I've had intimate times with him. I know what his voice is. I know what he sounds like. Again, John 10 says, my sheep know my voice. And sometimes as you're listening to the Father and you're just, you know, you're tuning in and you're listening, he will only tell you things that are going to uplift, to build, to encourage. He's never going to say, hey, I know you're struggling and you may not pay your bills this month. Why don't you go knock over that 7-Eleven? Why don't you go rob that bank? I guarantee you that's not the Father. That's the Father lies, but it ain't God the Father, the God of truth. And so when you get to know Jesus, when you get to know the Father, you know who he is, how he talks. But if you keep your mind and your heart full of the things of this world, but here's the contrasting or the contradicting thing. If you keep your mind and your heart full of the things of this world, it will be difficult for you to differentiate between the Spirit of God and your own thoughts. That is the definition of a carnal mind, one that has not been renewed by the Word of God. When you are so full of worldly junk, worldly things, you'll start making concessions in moral concessions in life and in things. And you're like, well, I mean, God didn't really say that. I mean, I guess I can do that. Oh, yeah, you know, God, God wants me to support that person's sexual identity. Oh, God wants me to. No, when you are full of the world, you'll hear the world. And it's hard to distinguish and differentiate. Did God really say that, or did the world say that? I'll even say this, and this might offend people, but whatever. During COVID, there was, you really had to listen to the Holy Spirit, whether he was saying to get a jab or not get a jab, get vaccinated or not get vaccinated. You had to listen. Now, I'm not going to get into detail, and I'm not going to share my opinion on this or that. That's all I'm going to say is you better have been right and heard from the Holy Spirit. But sometimes you would watch TV so much that, oh, man, maybe I should get vaccinated. I mean, it says this and this and this. I mean, I know God's the great healer and all that, but maybe I should just take it. When you are full of the world, when you're full of the things of the world, it's hard to differentiate what God is saying and what God is not saying. Is that God? Is that the world speaking? You have to fill your heart up, your mind up with things of the Word of God. Then it gets so easy. I didn't have any question. For me personally and my family, we didn't get vaccinated. We already knew what was up. We didn't need this stuff. God got us. Either he got us or he don't. But I know he got me. And so I didn't have to. Did the Holy Spirit speak this? Another example. Yeah, my wife's like, yeah. Another example is that, is hearing the voice of the Father. I believe, a lot of times, I believe God is a green light God, but not all the time. Sometimes he's like, hey, yo, you don't need to go there. And I remember there was a time that I was invited to go on a missions trip. I can't remember if it was Africa or I think it was Africa. This was actually right before COVID. And I wanted to go so bad. And again, if you're listening to the world or you're listening to the Father, you'll understand. Now, sometimes I believe that God will speak through other people to get your attention. If he can't get your attention, he's going to speak through somebody else or something else. And he's going to get his point across to you one way, one how. And you might receive it, you might not, but he's going to get his point across to you. And I remember I was really, I was just like, man, God's got me. I'm going on this mission trip. And my wife's like, no, I don't think you need to go. Man, I was mad. I was like, what? God's called me to travel. I mean, I was pretty heated. I was like, God's called me to travel. He's got me. And she's like, I don't really think you need to go. You need to go and pray. And I'm praying, and again, I'm not that I was listening to the world, but I wasn't tuned in properly with the Father. Not that I wasn't doing anything bad or anything. It's just, I was just like, oh, I want to go. I want to preach the gospel, blah, 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 you know, because that's what we're told to do. And we're always told God's a green light God, but sometimes God says no. And I remember my wife's like, I really don't feel like you should go. And man, I was heated. And it wasn't until finally God beat into my head enough. He's like, no, I think you need to listen to your wife. And, you know, I was like, okay, fine. I didn't go on this trip. And I remember a pastor buddy of mine who did go on the trip, man, they all got COVID. They all got sick. And this is right before when COVID really started getting going. And airports were shutting down and you couldn't get flights out. And they were like, man, we almost missed our flight. We almost didn't make it back to the States. I mean, all this stuff. He said, we were sick as a dog, you know, this and this. And after they got back and they're telling me this story, I was like this, whoo, I'm glad I didn't go. Like, thank you, Jesus, that, you know, that my wife wasn't a knucklehead like I was. I was just like, let's go for it. And my wife had the presence in her to be like, hey, look, God's trying to speak and you're not listening. And so when you hear the voice of the Father, when you tuned in, you'll know his voice. You'll know when he's speaking. Tiffany heard, you're not supposed to go. Tiffany heard, even before COVID was coming in, she heard the Holy Spirit, hey, you need to start stockpiling and you need to start making sure you have extra stuff, extra supplies. And we were like, what's going on? This doesn't make sense. We just heard. And you can use it in any part of your life, who you're associated with, who your friends are, what business decisions you make. Listen to the voice of the Father. Distinguish what he is saying. He will save you so much time, money, heartache, effort, blood, sweat, and tears. He will totally make life easy. And I really believe when you listen to the Father and you listen to his voice, life really is quite easy. We're the ones that screw stuff up because we think, oh, I know better than God. I think I should do this. I can do this. And the next thing you know, we're like, oh God, please help me. There's so many times I can look back in just my own life and I'm like, I should have listened to God about that. Should have listened to God about that decision. You know, that's just how it is. But as we mature, we can start, as we mature and we get closer to the Father, we'll start understanding who, what he's speaking, and we can make our decisions based off that. The more time you spend with him, the more certain you'll become about hearing his voice. It isn't just time taking talking to him, but it's praying, it's meditating, it's listening. We learn his voice when we listen to his voice. That's why in Matthew 17:5, it says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And the last one, and we'll kind of wrap it up, is in order to, these are the questions that you ask. Am I hearing the voice of God? Number four is, does it line up with his word, the Bible? All scripture, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God. One sure way to know that you're hearing from God and hearing God's voice is, does it line up with what you hear in the word of God? God will not contradict his word. He will not say, yeah, go ahead, go knock over that 7-Eleven. Go smack your wife around. Go cheat on your spouse. Go beat your kids. Go steal. He's not going to contradict himself. God will never tell you to think or say anything contrary to his word. If you have thought that you don't know if it's God or not, look it up in scripture. Look it up in the Bible and settle it the right way. If it says, you know, you could be like, should I have premarital sex? Look it up in scriptures and see what it says. Should I do this? Look it up in scripture if you have no clue. That's what it's for. The Spirit of God will only tell you to do things that will give you a more abundant life. If your neighbor or your friends do something dirty to you, God isn't going to say, yeah, get them back. Go for it. An eye for an eye, baby. He isn't going to tell you that. He's going to tell you to love. He's going to tell you to forgive. He's going to tell you to walk in love and in compassion. He's not going to contradict his word. Every change he tells you to make is designed to bring you closer to him, to bring you blessings in life, and to minister grace upon you. So he isn't going to tell you to refuse to forgive someone or spend money frivolously or anything else that doesn't match his word. He isn't going to tell you, oh, rob for me, go for it. God always agrees with his written word, and his word always agrees with him. In fact, Psalms 138:2 says that he has magnified his word even above his name. That means God puts his name on his written word the way we would put our names at the bottom of a contract. He has given us his word as a covenant and signed it in his by his name, by the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Since God cannot lie, there is no way he will ever do or say anything contrary to his word. He is absolutely joined himself to it forever. In other words, you can take his word to the bank. You know, you don't have to be like, God, can I cash this check? No, you can take him at his word. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His word is bond. Plain and simple. He signs it. His word, when he says it, is going to happen. Now, I can go into another discussion about our words and how God keeps us at our words and why we got to be careful. But that's a whole other message, but it's really good. God trains us to recognize his voice through his written word. He uses it to tune our spiritual ears so what is real so that we can easily recognize the counterfeit. And I think that is crucial even in this day and age because there's so much counterfeit. There's counterfeit preaching. There's counterfeit doctrine. There's people, I mean, you have homosexuals that are pastors. And I just saw this one the other day, and this guy was talking about Jesus made everything fabulous. And he was backing why Jesus was okay with being gay. And I was just like, what in the world? If you don't listen and understand and recognize his voice, you will fall for the counterfeit. So many times, people, the body of Christ, we go to church and we take everything for face value. The pastor said this, he's the man of God, he went to seminary, he did this, he did that, she did this, she did that. It must be truth. It must be right. And so we take it at face value. I believe we need to be like the Thessalonians and test everything. Test it to the word. Hey, is this right? Is this this? Is this that? Yeah. And this is, I'll even say this, Tiffany said this, but here's the biggest one that I see today in this day and age. The news said it. The pastor said it. It must be right. The news said a lot of stuff. You got a lot of people killed. Your pastor had said stuff and got a bunch of people killed. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. But what I'm saying is we must hear God for ourselves. We must listen to God for ourselves, even as it puts us at odds with family, with friends, with our other congregants. I mean, I know people that believe that, hey, we love Jesus. Jesus loves me. I love my wife. And we can bring pornography in the bedroom. What? I'm sorry, brother. I can't get down with that. I can't agree with that. How are you telling me that's okay? But a lot of people believe it. And a lot of people, there's a lot of Christian couples who are into defiling the marriage bed, doing things that we weren't supposed to. We have a lot of liberty in the marriage bed, keeping it sane. We have a lot of liberty. We're allowed to do a lot of things. Well, there's a lot of things we can't do. And we take that liberty we become a little too free in Jesus. And so what I'm saying is that God is training us to recognize his voice. And it is so crucial in this day and age that you hear his voice. Even in these last days, you have to hear your voice. Revelation talks about it. There's so many times. It's wolves in sheep's clothing. You're going to have preachers. You're going to have leadership. You're going to have governing authorities. They look nice. They look like us, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. We have to hear the voice of the Father, because the voice of God's going to tell you, they're not right. And here's the one that me and my family use a lot, and we joke about this a lot. It's when you are tuned in with the Father and someone says something and you're just like, should I believe that? Should I not? It's, you'll hear the Father say, strange fire. And you can know, hey man, I better keep my distance, or I better watch myself. So when you tune our spiritual ears to what God is saying, what is real, we can easily recognize what is truth and what is counterfeit. Because in these last days, there's going to be so much counterfeit. We have to be very careful. When we've trained to hear God's voice, or when you're trained to hear God's voice in his word, the devil won't be able to speak deception on you. When he tries to razzle dazzle you with some religious sounding voice that says, I love you, my son, but it's not just his will, but it's just not my will to heal you at this time. I've heard people say that. You know, they pray, God, if it's your will. Of course, if it's his will. That is his will for healing in your body. I don't have to check that. I don't have to. But there's people that believe. There's people that believe, Josh is the pastor, Tiffany's the pastor. They know better than us. They are more powerful. They are more anointed, more spiritual than us. That is a lie of the enemy. And we have to train ourselves to hear the voice of the Father. So when the enemy says this stuff, I mean, there's some slick talking boys out there. There's some slick talking passes out there. And I mean, I've even listened to some where even I'm listening, I'm like, yeah, that's not right. 99.9% of what they said, I can agree with. But they said one little thing that I'm like, oh, man, that whole statement's false. Oh, man, where do we get that from? We have to be so careful. When you know God's voice, you'll know that you'll be able to rise up and say, that's not the voice of God. That's a lie from hell, because it doesn't agree with what the word says about me. By his stripes, I am healed. I am loved. God talks to me. God wants to be with me. Before I was in my mother's womb, I was a prophet to the... Because I know the word, I can tell the enemy, not today, devil. To live in confidence that you are hearing from him, you need to have the knowledge of his word continually in your heart. And you do this by drawing near to God. James 4:8 talks about this. That's your part, to seek him. God's not going to run you down. Your part is to diligently seek him. That involves spending time in the word and in prayer. And whatever place you give him in your life, the Spirit of God will fill up and will bless you. I finish with this. The best part about hearing God's voice is that you won't just avoid counterfeit voices. You'll be giving access to secrets and revelation knowledge that will make you the head and not the tail. I'll even say this, that when you avoid the counterfeit voices, and I know some people disagree with this, the Lord will start unlocking the mysteries of heaven. Yes, we don't know it all. Yes, there's still mysteries out there. And God will show you the mysteries of what's going on. He'll show you the mysteries. There's things that, you know, the Lord has showed me, and I don't even speak of, because if I said it to people are like, yo, you're weird. You know, there's a friend of mine I love talking to. He's a prophet here in San Antonio. And man, when we talk, he says some of the craziest stuff. And when I say crazy, I'm not knocking him or anything like that. But he says some of the wild stuff. And he tells me, he said, Josh, if I tell people some of this stuff, people would think I've lost my mind. But I mean, I'm like, I'm loving it. I'm like eating it up. I'm like, oh man, this is great stuff. This is great revelation. Why? Because he has a relationship with the Father. He knows the difference between counterfeit and God's voice. And because of that, because he's been entrusted with the small, God's giving him the big mysteries. He's unveiling mysteries to him. And I love hearing this because I understand that there's mysteries, that God is revealing mysteries to this brother. And man, when we talk, I'm like, whoa, never heard that before. Never looked at it like that. Never seen it like that. And it's good stuff. So hearing God's voice, you won't just avoid the counterfeit voices. You'll be given access to secrets, to revelation knowledge that will make you the head and not the tail. He will open up the mysteries to you. In Jeremiah 33:3, he says, "Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." I'm going to say this right here real quick, because I'm on my gospel button, I'm on my soapbox, whatever you want to call it. Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Isn't that the definition of mystery? Things that you don't know, isn't that a mystery? So this is the New American Standard Bible. It's saying he will open up things which you do not know. Sounds like he's going to reveal mysteries to you, but that's for another time. All you have to do is pursue, again, our walk with the Father, our walk with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it isn't striving. It's not striving at all. It's actually really quite easy. It's just knowing who you are and walking in your freedom, walking in your deliverance. It's just walking who we've been called. So we're not striving, but we can pursue. When you pursue, all you have to do is pursue a life in which you hear the voice of God. Heed it and walk in victory. You'll walk in victory in things that you never thought were possible. You'll walk in victory over lust. You'll walk in victory over addiction. You'll walk a victory over unforgiveness. Anything that the devil, you'll walk in victory when you heed his voice, when you listen and heed. And you'll walk in victory, even in areas you thought I would never get free from. Man, I got free from areas in my life that, you know, I thought, man, I'm just stuck with this. I'll always be this. I'll always be addicted to this. But God set me free. And I didn't have to be on a 12-step program and continuing for year upon year upon year trying and, please help me, Jesus. No. When Jesus sets you free, he sets you free. There's no going back. There's no takey backsies. It's you are free as long as you keep it up. Now, you can do yourself, get you back in that trouble, but I've set up guards to where I don't want to fall back in that. And because I set up guards, I can be free from the areas that used to hold me back. When you check your receiver, when you find his frequency, you learn to discern his voice and line up with what you hear in his word. Hearing God's voice won't be an occasional event, but it will be a lifestyle. And when someone asks you, "What is the Spirit of God telling you today?" you won't hesitate for a moment. You'll know exactly what to say and how to say. You'll be like, "This is what God is speaking." There's so many times people ask my wife, "What's God speaking today?" And she can, "This is what God's saying." Why? Because she's tuned in to what God's speaking. Now, she ain't nobody special. She's special to me and I love her. But you hear what I'm saying? If God can do it for her, she can do it for you. God can do it for me, he can do it for you. We are nobody special. What sets us apart is that we pursue the things of God. That's really it. That's the people that I see people like, "Oh, they're greater anointing, they have greater this." It's not that they have greater anointing, it's that they pursue the things of God. Some people are satisfied with just the mundane. Some people are satisfied with, "What can I do? What's the bare minimum that I can do to get into heaven? Or what's the bare minimum I can do to have a relationship with Jesus?" And they literally just do the bare minimum. It's like paying the minimum balance on your credit card. You have a $10,000 credit debt and you do the minimum balance. You do a minimum $25 and you're wondering why you're still in debt. Does it make sense? It's because you're doing the bare minimum. It's the people that pursue. I mean, I've been so blessed in these past couple years to sit at Prophets Roundtable with famous prophets, to talk with evangelists that are on TV and all these big name people. And this is what I've learned, and I've been in church all my life. My dad was a pastor. I've sought, and this is what I've noticed from all these great men and women of God. What was the difference between them and other people? It's not that they were so much more spiritual. It wasn't that, you know, they were perfect. It's that they pursued God. They said, God, everything that you have, I want, and I'm chasing after it. And I've watched these people, but I've watched other people that are like, I'm like, hey, you know, I've talked to people. They want, Josh, I want to be able to cast out devils. I want to be able to do the things that I see you and Tiffany do. And I'm like, well, this is what me and Tiffany do. I don't want to give up my TV. I don't want to do that. That seems like a lot of work. You're telling me on my free time, I'm going to have to do this. You're telling me I have to go to church. You're telling me I have to read. I'm going to have to study. I'm going to have to do this, this, that, and the other. People don't want to do it. And so they're relegated to a minimal Christian lifestyle. And they think this is all Christianity is. And I'm like, nope, you're missing so much. I believe this, and I leave you with this. The Bible says that, you know, on judgment, it says, in, you know, when we're in heaven, that Jesus wipes away our tear. I believe that that wiping away a tear, because if you're a believer, you don't have to worry about punishment or anything like that. The Bema Seat, it's judgment is for the unbeliever, those who didn't put their trust in Jesus. But for us who put their trust in Jesus, it's all about rewards. The Bema, if you do a search, the Bema is going back through the Greek Olympics, means it means like the Olympics, when you get a medal, you get your prize. So it's Jesus giving our rewards. And I really believe that there's so many believers that will get to the Bema Seat. Jesus is, all right, this is all that you did for me. You left all this on the table. And that's where you're like, oh my goodness, your heart will be broken. You're still loved by him. You're still all that. There's so many people who are relegated to just their minimal lifestyle. I give my 10%. I go to church, and I pray before my food. They just do the bare minimum, where God's saying, come pursue me. If you pursue me, I'm going to open up the mysteries to you. I'm going to open up different revelation. I'm going to take you to a new level. You'll do the things that I did and greater. Jesus said, these things you shall do and greater, because I go to my Father. He will cause you to walk in a greater authority. But so many people leave so many gifts, so many things on the table, because they don't want to do all the hard stuff. And I'm not saying that reading your Bible is hard, or going to church is hard, or giving more than 10%, or loving your neighbor. That stuff ain't hard. It's just our lifestyle. It's just our lifestyle. Sometimes you got to go and just sit before the Lord. Oh, that's really hard. No, it's not. It's a lifestyle. When it's a lifestyle, it's easy. And because of that, God reveals the mysteries to you. Because of that, God will cause you to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's what I want for you. I don't want you to be a nominal Christian. I don't want you to be a nominal believer, just barely making it. Oh, man, I just made it. I just made it to heaven if by fire. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to live an abundant life here on earth, because in heaven it's going to be great. But why not? Why wait to the other side? You can have an abundant life walking in signs, wonders, and miracles right today. It's not about striving, but it's about pursuing God with a wholehearted abandon. It's pursuing God with a love like David did. It's loving Jesus. That's how you hear the voice of the Father. You tune into this frequency. You come with an expectation. God, I expect to hear from you. You tune to the frequency. You differentiate. And you understand, you know his voice, and then you do it. That's how you hear God's voice. And when you're faithful with the little, he'll give you much more. You want the fresh revelation, the crazy mysteries? Be faithful when he says, hey, I want you to love a little bit more. I want you to give a little bit more. I want you to pray a little bit longer. When you do that, he will entrust you with more.